Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda. Welcome back to our Insider Insight Show. I'm honored to have with me someone who is an incredible patriot, incredibly courageous, and someone who is fighting in hand-to-hand combat for the freedom and liberty of our country. His name is Phil Evans. Over the past month, I've gotten to know Phil, and he is an exceptional person, an incredible patriot, and an incredibly honest data scientist. Now, let me give you a little background on Phil's life. For the past 22 years, Phil has worked and focused on invention, design, and construction of industrial machinery and instrumentation related to industrial manufacturing. But much of Phil's work requires data analysis and the creation of mathematical algorithms and formulas. 10 years ago, Phil became involved in data analysis focused on looking at elections. In particular, in 2012, Phil constructed an election analysis method that was later called and named cumulative vote shares analysis, and we'll have him describe what that's all about. But Phil has been the lead analyst in election fraud cases, including the 2017 Alabama Senate race of Moore versus Jones and the 2016 Broward County Congressional District 23 race, Canova versus Wasserman Schultz, which ended, folks, with the Elections Commissioner Brenda Snipes' removal after destroying federal election ballots prior to the 22-month break-off time period. Phil was also involved in the 2020 Massachusetts Republican Senate race, where he found definitive proof Dr. Shiva Arudai was the victim of computer algorithm tabulation. It's my honor to welcome Phil Evans. Phil, welcome to the Insider Insight Show.
Thank you, Dave.
So, Phil, you have put tremendous amounts of time and effort, as well as a team that you are involved with, into what occurred on November 3rd and November 4th of 2020 with the election. And you have looked at a number of different states. Could you educate our listeners on which states you've looked at and the information that you have gleaned from your analysis?
Sure, Dave. So first we looked at Michigan, and we did some preliminary analysis there without the proper data, okay? But now we have the proper data, and we've done some more analysis, okay? So we looked at that first. Then we went into Georgia. We were asked to look at Georgia, which we did. We looked at some of the largest counties in Georgia in the metro Atlanta area. And 2 days ago, we were asked by Arizona to take a look at Arizona. And we just received the data that we really need to do meaningful analysis yesterday. And so we're in the process of looking at Maricopa County in Arizona.
And can you educate our listeners, Phil, on your findings? Can we start with Michigan and what you found there? And then let's go to Georgia and then Arizona.
Sure. So we did some preliminary analysis where we knew something wasn't right because we didn't see a certain signature that you should see in every election. Okay, and I won't bore the listeners here with all the details. So then we got the demographical data, and what we found out was that, and this is like one of the key findings, one of the candidates received 100% of certain ethnic group votes in Kent, Wayne, and Macomb counties at the minimum.
Wait. Okay. So one of the presidential candidates received 100% of the minority votes in, you said, Kent, Macomb, and Wayne County?
Yes, that is what our findings are. In Kent, Wayne, and Macomb counties, that we're not limiting it to that, but that's the first three where we've done the analysis, and frankly, getting the data to do the others has been the holdup. Okay, that is our intent, is to do more counties. We have looked at, preliminarily, we have looked at probably 20 counties, and I can tell you that it appears that the largest counties were the ones that were that we see this anomaly in, and then we reach a point where there's only a certain population. And understand, we are essentially neutralizing the demographical effects in our analysis. So I know there's going to be people out there that say, well, you know, in larger cities, you're going to have this is going to happen. And of course, we know this. We've known this for many, many years. But we are in the process of getting the demographical data so that we can do the similar analysis in the other counties. But yes, one candidate is getting, of all the non-Caucasian vote, this one of the candidates is literally getting 100% of that vote. And we have compared that to the closest thing we have to a expected pattern, which would be exit polls. And the exit polls are nowhere near what we're seeing.
Now, Phil, so what you're telling us is that blacks, Hispanics, Asians, other minorities, all combined, in those counties voted 100%, and I can only assume this was for Biden as opposed to Trump, 100%, yet I'm familiar with CNN's exit poll. Let's use their own, I mean, CNN, not exactly a Republican stronghold or a conservative stronghold. Tell me if I'm wrong, Phil, but I believe their exit poll showed that 18% of minorities, black, Hispanic, Asian, other, voted for President Trump. Am I wrong on that?
That is what we found, correct.
Okay, so CNN itself, and this is probably an underestimate in my opinion, maybe you disagree with that, but in my opinion, 18% is low. I think it's higher than that, but CNN even said 18%. So CNN said 18, so we're not talking like CNN said 18% of minorities voted for President Trump, and you found that with your demographic data, 16% voted for President. You're finding, CNN says 18%, and you're finding 0%.
That is correct.
Okay, Phil, I'm not the statistical guru like you are, but to me, that's off the charts as far as a probability of being the case, 0%.
Yes, and to be clear, our model that includes demographics, we only allow up to 100% in the model, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I know some people listening to this are probably scratching their head like, well, of course you only allow up to 100%. But what we have found in the past is that, and we believe it's because the votes have been manipulated, certain we call them a CVS curve, okay? You absolutely cannot attain the results that we see in our CVS demographical projection analysis unless you get more than 100% of certain demographics, okay? So, but we limited it to 100%, 0 to 100%, and yes, we found 100% in every major city that we've looked at so far.
So, Phil, you know, I'm based in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, not far from Detroit, right? Wayne County. Okay, there was all this talk that, well, wait, if you don't certify this fraudulent vote that has occurred in Wayne County, you are harming the minority population because you're not counting their votes. Well, wait. Tell me if I'm wrong, Phil. But this is like the pot calling the kettle black, because according to what you just spoke about, whoever was jury rigging these votes, obviously for Biden in this case, they essentially took 100% of the minority vote and they gave it to Biden and took it from Trump, even if he got 18% or whatever it was. Am I wrong in that?
That's what it appears. It appears that disenfranchisement is only relevant if you're voting for a particular candidate.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it seems. I mean, this is off the chart. So now, Phil, in your initial analysis, you looked at, I believe, Macomb, Oakland, Kent counties, and you looked at absentee votes and you looked at election day votes. Is there anything you can educate our listeners on that first preliminary analysis?
We put these charts out there, and in the same breath, we said we really need the demographical information.
Okay.
That was a preliminary. We believe it sure appears that the voting trends do not follow the demographical, what you would expect demographically.
Okay.
That's an absolute fact.
Okay. So that's hard and fast.
Whether one candidate getting 100% of all those demographics is normal, okay, and whether the exit polls just missed it, or whether there's something else going on, I can't tell you. You know, you're a boots on the ground there in Michigan,
right?
And you would have a better idea. I've reached out to people that I know there to try to get, you know, any kind of boots on the ground information, but you know, I just don't know the answer to that.
Got it. Now, Phil, I've mentioned you've been involved in this for 10 years, right? And you did data analysis on the 2012, the 2017 Alabama race, 2016 Florida race, the 2020 Massachusetts primary. Have you ever seen, in your experience, in those other analyses, a demographic such as the minority population going 100% to one candidate?
I actually have, yes. It's pretty common in some of the... one particular party routinely, I find 100% of a demographic that's been assigned to one of the candidates. Correct.
So this seems to be a recurrent pattern then.
Yes. Whether it's real or not, my focus is not exit polling.
Yeah.
It's not polling via telephone. My expertise is just taking the data that they've given us and telling us this is a real honest election and running it through our analyses. We do demographical projection models. Okay. We do cumulative vote analysis and we do other types of analysis as well. But my expertise is taking what we've been given. It's kind of like after the scene of a crime, okay, was a crime committed here? And if so, who did it and how did they do it? And that's kind of what I do with elections, okay? So that's all I can report is what the data seems to indicate versus what we would have expected.
So, Phil, would it surprise you? I have friends, maybe that surprises you. I don't know. I have friends in Kent, Macomb, and Wayne County who are in the minority population, okay? And some of my friends actually own businesses in each of those three counties, and they have many minority employees. So I spoke to, once I got some of this information that you had provided me before, I actually contacted a number of my friends in these three counties that are in the minority populations. And I said, let me ask you something. What are the chances that 100% of the Black, Hispanic, and Asian populations that you're aware of in your county voted 100% for Joe Biden? My friends in Kent County said, the chance of that is zero. Why would you ever think that 100% of the Black, Hispanic, and Asian populations, my friends in Kent County, and my friends in Macomb said the same, and my friends in Wayne said, would vote 100% for Biden? Where did you get that? Are you Dave? Is something wrong? Are you watching like MSNBC or CNN or what are you watching? He said, well, that's a data analysis out there that 100. They go, what? They go, and this is across the board, Phil, in these three counties. They said, these folks said, and they all said the same thing. You know, we're not isolated, and we know our communities. And if you said, they all, one said like 60%, one said 70, one said 70, 75, I think. But they said if you said 75% of the minority community voted for Biden, one said 60, one said 70. They said, well, okay. They said, you know, okay, I can put my head around that. But 100%? They all said no way. Right. And these are people that are on the ground. And they're in the, they live, they work, they support a number of employees in their businesses. So what do you say to them, Phil?
Well, there are potential explanations, and none of them are non-nefarious, but there are potential explanations that I'd like to briefly explain, at least one of them, okay? In our demographic model that we use, one thing that could cause our model to go to 100%, okay, like what I'm describing, and I'm not saying this has happened, we have not definitively determined this, but if they put a counting algorithm somewhere, okay, they could do it at the precinct level, they could do it like the, and I briefly looked at the guy in Philadelphia that was looking at the way some of the precinct returns were coming in and how some of those were manipulated, okay, to mm-hmm. be done in a similar fashion as that. But if they were putting a county algorithm in there, or if they were manually changing certain precincts, okay, that would cause our model to tell you that this particular candidate got, or this particular demographic voted 100% for this particular candidate, okay? Mm-hmm. Without going into great, great mathematical detail and losing 99% of your viewers here on a radio interview, that would cause that, okay?
Uh-huh. So now, so that's Michigan. You said you looked at Georgia. What did you find there?
We found the same pattern. We found 100%. I think one county said 99%. But we found in the metro, we haven't done Gwinnett, but we've done DeKalb County. We've done Fulton County. In those two counties, we found 100% of the African-American vote went to Joe Biden.
So Fulton County is Atlanta, correct?
Correct.
100% of Atlanta's blacks voted for Joe Biden.
Correct.
What's the probability of that happening, do you believe?
Well, you know, that's a complex question. Probably a lot of different answers depending on how you wanted to go about calculating probability. But frankly, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to, again, to take the data that is available. Certain people have asked me to do my analysis on
right.
it. And come up with you know, demographical shares, which is what I am sharing in this interview. I don't know. I mean, it could. I mean, if you go and see and read the CNN exit polls, it does say that only they only expect in the most metro areas of Georgia, they only expect about 5% support for Donald Trump. So, you know, that's. I don't know. It's, you know, you could say, well, if they were stuffing ballots and if a lot of these ballots were 100% for Joe Biden, then that could potentially, you know, it could potentially have been a cause that was in the ballot stuffing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or I shouldn't use the word ballot stuffing. Maybe those 100%, you know, 1,000 to 0 or 1,000 to 1 in these certain precincts, Maybe those were real and honest. I can't say. I can just report what we found.
Okay. So we have a similar trend between your analysis in Michigan and in Georgia. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. So then now you said you were looking at Arizona, correct?
Correct.
All right. So what do we have there?
Well, it's a little different because they don't have the to start with, the data that we have. Mm-hmm. We have begged and begged, and we've looked at every source, and to date, we have not received any precinct level demographical data that we have to have before we can begin our analysis. What I did find, I had ordered and paid for in 2018 Maricopa County demographical data. That data does not include ethnicity. It only includes political party preference, and it's broken into 5 political parties and then independent. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just tell you, the initial evaluation, and I actually pulled this up right before you called me here, because we're in the process of this. Basically, Maricopa is, I don't know, maybe 55% Republican, maybe a little less than that, but it's a little bit more Republican than Democrat. And then you have about maybe a few more independents than you have either Republicans or Democrats. And that's just from my initial looking at this. Okay, so let's just say you have approximately the same number of Democrats as Republicans and independents, but slightly more Republican. Okay, maybe 10% more Republican. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I do when I look at an election is I just do some real basic layouts. The way I lay things out, I use cumulative analysis. I look at the demographics, I look at the candidate scores, and I see how they kind of change and see and get an idea of where I want to go next. Okay. And the first thing that struck me is when I did a simple analysis of the turnout and looked at the correlation between registered Republicans and registered Democrats, the landslide toward Republicans was I was shocked. I've never seen anything like it. For example, if you take the most Republican precincts, they turned out at 80% to 90%. Okay.
Okay.
If you take the most Democrat precincts, they turned out about 40%.
Okay.
Absorb what I just told you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's astounding. In other words, there's no other way to look at it. The Republicans showed up, they showed out. The Democrats did not.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do the same analysis of the independent vote, you get a similar trend as what you got in the with the Democrats. You get almost no turnout in the high percentage turnout precincts. Very, very low, a strong correlation with low turnout with independents, okay?
Okay.
Which tells me that you had one party that was extremely supportive and excited about their candidate, and you had another party that was very apathetic, and you had independents that couldn't care less, okay? And I'm not saying that about every independent or every Democrat. I know there's people out there that really, really care about it, okay?
Yeah.
And I also know that those percentages, they are somewhat dependent and they overlap, okay? But you can't say that 80% Republicans turned out and 40% Democrats turned out. That's not the way it works, okay? Luckily, we have methods. When you have that many precincts, and in Maricopa, I think it was around roughly 750, okay, precincts, maybe a plus or minus 10, something like that. We have methods where we can extract those percentages.
Okay.
And what we found is that, like I just said, Republican turnout was much more heavy than Democrats or independents in Maricopa County. Now, if you go back to the registered numbers, you'll see that if you've got a 5-10% advantage with Republicans to start with, and you've got such a skewed turnout, like what I just said, well, you would expect that would be in the final results.
One would think, okay? Right? One would think so.
That's what you would think.
But that's not what happened. That's not what happened.
However, what we found in the final results of Maricopa County was that Joe Biden won by 70,000 votes, something like that, 70, 80,000 votes. And so, I can tell you as an analyst who's been doing this a long time, I would be shocked if when we complete our analysis, we don't find a real reason why that happened, and it's not an honest reason, because there are no demographical, nothing demographically is going to explain what we're seeing there. So I have some expectations, but we won't know until we complete the analysis, and I expect to have that done today or tomorrow. And then I have been asked to, you saw the town hall meeting in Pennsylvania?
I did.
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to have one of those in Arizona on Monday, and I've been asked to present my findings there. But at the time I said, well, I don't know if there's going to be any, I don't know what we're going to find, but let's just see. So we'll see what happens when we complete the analysis. But right now there's a, like I didn't see that in the Atlanta or in the counties we talked about in Michigan. I didn't see that kind of discrepancy in the turnout. When you go to Maricopa, it is mind-numbing what you see. It's you would have to believe that either all the Democrats voted or all the Republicans voted for Joe Biden, and all the independents did, or there's something else going on. We'll get to the bottom of it because we've got the data that we need. But when we do, I will certainly share that with you.
So you know it's interesting. So in Michigan, and talking to some friends of mine in high Republican county areas, when they looked over the final numbers that were reported, right? Here's what they told me, Phil, and you can tell me if this sounds off, but they said, you know, something's wrong here. They said it's almost as if 20 to 25% of President Trump's support, and thereby votes, were shifted to Biden. I mean, that's what these people on the ground are telling me. Does that seem potentially, because it sounds like in Maricopa, you're seeing these high turnout Republican areas and you're seeing little, you know, not so much enthusiasm for Biden or through the independents. So Trump should have whomped, you know, done a womp stomping in Maricopa. Instead, he loses by 70,000. I mean, and these people here on the ground in high Republican areas are saying, this, something's wrong here. He's more popular today than he was in 2016, and he's 20 to 25% down. Well, does that add up to you here in Michigan?
I'm not giving you the silent treatment. The answer is somewhat complex, okay?
Okay.
Let's just say that, remember the percentages you just told me, and you and I have talked before, but you've never mentioned those numbers, and I've never mentioned any numbers like that to you.
No.
Okay.
Right.
But those numbers, I can tell you, in one county in Georgia, we found what we believe is a counting algorithm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Where we essentially have neutralized the effect of demographics, and one candidate's score all of a sudden takes on a new set of demographical laws and rules. Okay.
Right.
And when we found that, this is what is unique to this election. I've isolated algorithms before, but they're usually 6%. You know, 6% is very, very common. 2/3 is very common, we've identified in a situation up in Massachusetts, okay, in the Republican primary earlier this year, okay. But what we are seeing are numbers that are so huge. At this point, let me just say this: I'm not comfortable enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a certain amount. I forgot the word, but you know, when you live in a reality and you're looking around and you expect to see certain things.
Right.
This is something that I would never expect to see, and I'm not comfortable at this point talking about publicly.
Okay.
But let's just say that 22% range is what we've seen in at least one other large county. And let me also say that I have not done the analysis in any of the Michigan counties that would identify a counting algorithm. Okay. We've not done that level anywhere yet.
Okay.
Okay. We've extracted the percentages, but we've not done we've not made an effort to do the algorithm isolation yet. But that is exactly what we found in one other county. I'm not going to mention the name of. It was not Michigan. And we are still looking at other possible causes. And let me explain one other thing. I want to be clear about this. When I say we found an algorithm, we literally cannot tell. What we find, I call it an elbow. We see one candidate score on one side when we arrange the precincts in a certain order, which I'm not going to discuss publicly.
Okay.
We see a candidate score take on a whole different set of rules
Got
at
it.
A certain point. At a certain point.
Right.
And we literally cannot say definitively which candidate is benefiting and which one is to the detriment of.
Got it.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And so I want to be clear about that. So when we find an algorithm, the only way to be sure about who's benefiting and who is not is to look deeper. But we have found an algorithm in one county, not in Michigan, and it is in the range that you mentioned. I can also tell you that in Arizona, in some preliminary analysis, that same number is coming up. Same percentage is coming up. And so that's where we are. We are looking deeper. I may not should have gone public with that last information, but we're looking deeper and we're trying to get to the bottom of it. Unfortunately, time is not on our side.
No.
We're getting pressured to come out with some results that normally take, normally 1 week is what it takes, to do one county.
Got it.
And so, but that's where we're at.
Phil, have you looked at all at Pennsylvania?
I have not looked at Pennsylvania at all just because we do not have the demographical data that we need. And it's interesting you mentioned that. I believe I know, the video of the analyst that looked at the data and the precinct data coming in on election night.
Right.
We've all seen that.
Right.
And I believe I know exactly what is going on there. But I would like to, as soon as I get the data and look at some of the same precincts as what he found, some of those ratios were being inserted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very confident I know exactly what's going on there, but I cannot confirm it until I get the data. So if anyone's listening to this and they have, know someone that has the precinct level demographical data for the state of Pennsylvania, I would please contact Dave Janda or Dave, you can tell him how to contact you so that you can forward that to me, but we've not been able to find that information yet.
Yeah. And folks can send it to me at Dave @DaveJanda.com. You know, Phil, so we're like 3 weeks into this thing now, past 3 weeks into this, more than 3 weeks. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm four. And past this election, you know, and on several occasions today, you've mentioned that you don't have the data. Phil, why is this data so hard to get? I would think by the next morning, precinct data should be available to the public in every precinct in every throughout our country. Am I wrong? I mean, what's so hard about this?
Well, historically and typically, it's not easy to come by anyway, especially for some reason in what we call the swing states. Okay, the swing states in Michigan. Okay, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, states like North Carolina, they readily make it available, or they have readily made it available, but I've not been able to find it yet this year. But let me say this. We have a certain number of resources, and it's not like we've spent our days looking for that data. We have been contacted by, let's just say, you can't get any higher up in the hierarchy than the people that have reached out to us that have offered to help, but for some reason, when they go looking for the data, they don't return with it, and so I can't tell you what's going on. It feels like there's something going on, but I really can't say for sure. From my end, all I know is that we've gone to the highest levels. They've actually come to us and said, "Hey, what do you need?" But we've not gotten it.
Well, that's very disconcerting, at least to me.
Well, make of it what you will. I can't prove there's anything nefarious there, but we just don't have it. So, but my plans, our plans are to go to all the states. Pennsylvania would be next, and Wisconsin. After we finish in Arizona.
So, Phil, how do you think this is going to play out?
Well, it sounds to me like there is overwhelming evidence. And I read the same clippings that you read. Maybe I'm not as informed as you are, Dave. I mean, you're right in the middle of all this stuff. But my impression is that it's going to come down to legal integrity and the integrity of our courts mm-hmm. and of our state judicial systems.
Yep.
I think that's what it's going to come down to. And, you know, I can't tell you how it's going to play out. You probably have a better hold on that than I do, because that's really not what I spend most of my time doing. But I think it's literally going to come down to integrity. And that concerns me, because I'm not confident in our system. But you know what? We're getting ready to find out.
You know, Phil, there are millions of people right now after what's not only after listening to you, but watching what has transpired and what has been presented over the past 3-4 weeks. You know, the Pennsylvania Senate hearing, public hearing the other day, was a real eye-opener for a lot of people, the few people that watched it, because it wasn't covered by the networks or anybody. It was covered, obviously, by OAN and Newsmax and the like. But it was very, very eye-opening for a lot of people. And many people right now are saying, I truly believe our voting system, the infrastructure of our voting system, the process of our voting system, the chain of custody of a person's vote, of when I vote and when it gets recorded at the Secretary of State's office in my state. Many people do not have confidence in the system. Do you find that hard to believe?
Hard to believe that many people don't have confidence, or hard to believe that chain of custody.
No, hard to believe that many people right now don't have confidence in the system.
I think that feeling should have happened 10 years ago. you know, I mean, that when I noticed that something was wrong, but it's, I hope, I'm not surprised at all. I just hope it's not too little, too late.
And here's the other question people have, Phil. Can it be fixed?
It can only be fixed if we have freedom and we have free speech and we're not going to be persecuted by speaking out with the truth. That's the only way it can be fixed. And I think right now those concerns are in jeopardy.
Phil, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. You're an incredibly courageous patriot. What's the best way for folks to follow your efforts and what you're up to?
Right now, I have been working with Dr. Shiva Ayudare, and he's published some of the things that I and that we have done together. And so right now, that's really the best way to follow what my work.
Phil, again, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. Folks, I'd like to thank you for joining us today. This is Dave Janda signing off. Dream big and dare to fail. Thanks for your time today.